Okay, morning everyone. We've been, the last few All Age services, we've been looking at some of the events in the life of Peter. And today we're going to be looking at a strange vision that he had and what it meant. But before we do that, as I arrived in church this morning, I noticed that some people in this kind of middle area look a bit strangely dressed. They're all wearing like blue stuff. Okay, so I'm interested in finding out about that. I'm particularly interested in the boys. So any kind of blue dress boys in the middle, or men and men, just come out because I've got a few questions for you. So there's a couple there. There's one there. There's one there. Yeah, just you lot, all in the blue and the white and all of that. Come up. I've got a few questions. So just, yeah, line up. Line up. That's lovely. So first of all, you, what... Why are you dressed all funny?
Because it's like the uniform for his parade.
It's the uniform. Okay, uniform for what?
The brigade.
The brigade. Uniform for the brigade. Is it, which brigades are you in?
Boys.
Boys. Boys brigade. Okay, they're in boys brigade. Okay, so boys brigade, uniform. So is that what you do? Do you show up to church every few Sundays in blue? Is that what you do in boys brigade?
No, it's actually a club. We attend every Thursday.
Okay, it's a club and you attend every Thursday. Okay, so it's a club which you attend every Thursday and every once in a while you come to church dressed in blue. Okay. What are all these kind of things on people's arms? Can you tell me that?
They're armbands to display badges.
Okay, badges. What are the badges for? Like birthday badges? What are the badges for?
They're for showing that they did something.
Okay, showing that you did something, like achievements or something. Okay, can I get these badges? Can I get these badges?
Unfortunately, you're not a boy.
Okay.
You're a girls' brigade, though.
Okay. So you're saying that, because this looks quite fun, you're saying that I can't join Boys Brigade?
Join Girls Brigade and you can earn their badges, you can't join Boys Brigade.
But I can't join Boys Brigade. Do you know what? You can all go and sit down. Thank you very much, strangely dressed boys and teenagers. So it seems to me, I'll put this down, it seems to me that Boys Brigade is like this special group, like a society of people, and they seem to have their own special clothes, their own special rules, their own special meetings, their own special regulations. And that sounds to me a little bit like the Jewish people at the time when Peter was around, because they had all sorts of regulations about food, about what they could wear, what they could eat, even who they could talk to. So I'm going to have some pictures come up. Okay, these are some foods which the Jews of Peter's time would consider unclean. We're going to start with the one on the top left. Can anyone tell me why they wouldn't be allowed to eat that food? Can anyone tell me why they wouldn't be able to eat that food? Go on, Sam. It's pork, okay? So they're not allowed to eat pork or the meat of pigs. What about the one next to it to the right? Can anyone tell me why they couldn't eat that? Go on. Pardon? Yeah, they're prawns, and the Jews were not allowed to eat anything from the sea that didn't have scales or fins, so they wouldn't be able to eat prawns or squid or anything. This one's slightly trickier. Can anybody tell me why a Jew of Peter's time, if they were invented, wouldn't be able to eat this lovely cheeseburger? Does anybody know? Go on. Yes. Yes, well done. Nelly's right. It's because the Jews were not allowed to mix meat with dairy. They weren't allowed to mix animal meat with the milk of an animal. So this cheeseburger with cheese and meat is out. Okay, let's have a look at some of the ways that they might not be allowed to look. Let's start with this woman on the left. Can anyone tell me why a Jew of Peter's day wouldn't be allowed to look like this? No one can tell me? It's clues on her arm. What's she got on her arm? Gone? Yeah, that's right. She's got a tattoo. She's not allowed to have a tattoo if she's a Jew in Peter's day. What about this man underneath? What about the man underneath? Gone? He has a moustache, and there were rules in the times of Peter about which parts of your facial hair you were allowed to cut and which you weren't, and he's not allowed to have a moustache. What about this woman? Again, it's another slightly tricky one. Can anybody tell me what's wrong with what this woman is wearing if you're an ancient Jew? Yes. She has got trousers on, yes. There's something else as well. Go on. It's to do with her coat. Her coat is made from the skin of two separate animals. It's leather and fur. And the Jews were not allowed to mix two separate animal coats in what they were wearing. So there were all sorts of rules that made them a Jew. And in the same way that those clothes identify the Boys' Brigade, these rules identified the Jews. So Peter must have felt quite surprised and confused when God seemed to be changing rules. And I think maybe he wonders, has God changed his mind? Is he being fickle? Is he being indecisive? And for us to understand what's going on, it's helpful for us to remember that God is a father. I expect that there are one or two fathers here today, yes? If you're a father here today, put up your hand if you got a card or a present this morning. Put up your hand if you got a phone call this morning. Anybody from further afield? Put up your hand if you got a lie-in this morning. Not so many, oh, just a couple. Well, if you are a father, I would like you to have a look at the picture on the, that's coming up. And if you're not a father, I want you to imagine that you're a father. And I want you to imagine you're standing on one side of the street and you see this. What might a father think when he sees this? He's on the other side of the street. What might he think? Or more importantly, what instruction might he give? What instruction might he give to his children standing on the side of the street? Can anyone think of anything? It's possible, it's likely that he might say to his children, wait where you are, stay there, stand on the pavement. But it's also likely that after a couple of minutes, he may change and he may say, walk across the street. Now, why does the father change his instruction? Why does he start by saying, stand on the pavement, and then say, walk across the street? Is the father being indecisive? Is he changing his mind? Why is he changing his instruction? It's because a good father knows that one instruction is right for one time, and another instruction is right for another time. As we've said, God himself is a father, and the instructions that God gives to Peter about food on the roof are very different than the instructions that he gave to Moses and the Israelite people in the desert many years earlier. But I don't think God's being indecisive. I don't think he's being fickle or changing his mind. He is just a father giving different instruction for a different time. Okay. So, while Peter was still confused about his vision on the rooftop, he was visited by some men inviting him to the house of Cornelius. And what the Bible tells about Cornelius is three things. First of all, he was a Roman centurion, which is a high-ranking officer in the Roman army. So he was respected and senior within the Romans. Secondly, we know he was God-fearing. We're told that he prays with his family and he gives his money generously. Thirdly, and most importantly for Peter, he was not a Jew. Because if being a Jew was like being in a special club, then Cornelius was not in it. He was excluded. Because the rules about mixing food and about mixing clothing also applied to mixing people. The Jews were not supposed to associate with non-Jews. And actually, today, aside from the Boys' Brigade, which didn't let me in because I'm not a boy, there are lots of other activities, clubs, societies which exclude people or don't let people in on different criteria. So we're just going to have some images and you're going to see if you can tell me what's the entry criteria? What do you have to do or have to be to get into a sports team? Who can tell me? Go on. You have to be good at sports. You might have to get through sports team trials. Okay. What about to go to the cinema and watch certain types of movies. What's the entry requirement to watch certain types of movie at the cinema? Who can tell me? Age, yes. Okay, so sometimes people might be excluded on the grounds of their age. Okay, what about a university or a selective school? What do you have to do to get into a university or a selective school? Come on, people. Yes, good, you have to pass a test or an exam. Okay, what about to get into Ascot or a nightclub? We're thinking of things that the two will have in common. Okay, what do these two things both have in common? Can anyone tell me what you might need to get into both? Think about the kind of reasons you might be turned away. Good, a dress code. There we go. Marion has obviously been to Ascot a lot. Okay. Finally, a roller coaster. A roller coaster. What do you need to get onto a roller coaster? Yes, there's a height restriction on a roller coaster. Now, these are all fairly kind of light-hearted examples of ways that you might be not allowed to do something or excluded. But actually, it can be really hurtful to be excluded, to be left out of something. The great news that we learn from Peter's story is that nobody needs to be excluded from God's family. Because Peter realised that his strange vision was not just about food. And when God said, "Don't call anything unclean that I have made clean," he wasn't just talking about food, he was talking about people too. And he was telling Peter that it was now okay for him to spend his time mixing with and being friendly with non-Jews. So because of this, Peter says to Cornelius, "I now realise that God does not show favouritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." So the bit that the video finished, he had an idea of what he needed to say, and this was the first thing that he said, that Cornelius and his family were accepted. And the same is true today, that God accepts people from every nation, every race and every language, any age, any gender, any background and any personality type. And he calls on us as his church to do the same. The church of God should be the opposite of an exclusive club. But Peter's words to Cornelius don't stop there. Peter goes right on to tell Cornelius and his family about the message of Jesus. He says, "You know about a man called Jesus who came from Nazareth, who went around doing good and healing people. You know that he was put to death on a cross. But I'm telling you that God brought him back to life 3 days later. And people saw him, and people ate with him, and people drank with him. And he told those people to spread the good news that everyone who believes in him can have their wrongdoings forgiven and can have a special kind of relationship with God." This message transforms the lives of Cornelius and his family, just as it has transformed the lives of many of us today. We need to remember that the church of today should be filled with all races, all ages, and all personality types. But we also need to be aware that it should be based on just one belief, that same belief that Peter shared with Cornelius, that through Jesus we can know God in a life-changing way. And it's really great that Peter, in his desire to make sure that Cornelius and his family felt accepted, that he wasn't tempted to play down that message of Jesus, which can be such an easy trap to fall into. There's a lot of children's football teams that don't have trials and that just let anybody in. But if those football clubs stopped teaching and coaching and playing football, they would have lost their very purpose and identity. We live today in a world that is crying out for good news. Yes, there are many people who are incredibly hostile to the church and its message, and I don't see that much is to be gained by forcing it upon them. But there are also a good many people who, like Cornelius, are searching for it. So as we go on with our day and our week, let's remember that we are all accepted by God and welcomed as his children. Let's remember that as a church, we are called to accept and welcome people of any age, gender, background, race, nation, language. Let's also remember that, like Peter, we are called to share the message of Jesus, which has transformed our lives, with those who, like Cornelius, are looking for it.